Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
These fantasies since I was 17. Wanted to see your face in every dream. Feeling to feel your presence in everything. My love for you is as deep as the seven seas. There's something about your beauty that can turn refugees into devotees. Heaven's grace in your face I thought I would never see. When my mind was enslaved, you set it free. My heart was in rage, you fed it peace, and let it be. You are everything I'll ever need. I know that all things happen in divine timing. And as the kundalini in my spine rises, on the horizon of my heart I feel divine rising. Divine rising. Divine rising.
All of my thoughts
and all of my actions are completely aligned with God consciousness. I seek to learn and know more about myself and my Creator. My dearest Divine, I lay myself like petals at your lotus feet. I am purified by your presence, as my sins are washed away by the ocean of your existence. I am a being of violet fire. I am the purity God desires. I am the eternal flame that never dies. Mother Kundalini on her rise. I am open to awakening with my God state of mind. I seek to know more of Mother Divine. I sing praises unto thee, the nurturer of life, the intelligence in all things. I sing glories unto thee, forgiveness in all things, remarkable of the beauty that you bring, Divine Mother. Oh, how I wish to know thee.
My name is Sadie Zane, and I'm coming on to have a discussion with the Chosen Seed. I just wanted to talk to you all about a thought that came to me today. You know, as I was fixing tuna fish sandwiches for my children, I ended up having a flashback, a time travel, back to when I was about 6 years old. And I remember sitting at the table with the other foster children, but not just the foster children, but also the grandchildren of our foster parents would be there quite often. And I remember how when we would sit down for lunch, you know, we would get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but the grandchildren of the foster parents would get either tuna fish sandwiches or lunch meat sandwiches. And I remember that was when I was about six, you know, and I was thinking about that. And I remember just, you know, wishing that I was one of them, you know, wishing that, you know, maybe if I was one of the grandchildren, I could get the special things that they got, you know, even when it came down to like Christmas, you know, seeing them get the big toys, the, you know, the gifts that they wanted, or even small things which that's small too, but even things like, you know, getting that that look of compassion when you're acting out, you know, they, you know, received a lot more affection even in the midst of their, you know, if they had bad behavior at that time, whereas we would get scolded. And so fast forward to now, you know, that thought, time traveling back to that time, it really did make me realize why is the chosen were rejected or made to feel like we was less than. And in that moment, what I heard was, they didn't choose you because I chose you first. And I know that was the Most High Mother and Father reassuring me and reminding me that as a chosen seed, we often get rejected. We often get treated like the black sheep. And you have those memories, you know, where you could probably name quite a few different accounts where you felt like you just wasn't special enough or good enough. And as small as it may seem, you know, when you're a child, things like that actually do stand out, you know. And you place it in the back of your subconscious mind, you grow up into an adult, you know, even through adolescence, young adulthood, and you begin to look back once you awaken and realize a lot of the people that you might have had in your life, they didn't mean you well, but you allowed them to remain in your life because you were always seeking to feel special like you wanted to feel when you was a child. You see what I'm saying? And so you're always griping or looking or searching for that one person that will feel that void that you might have felt from a very young age. And of course, not everybody was in foster care or adopted. Some of you out there, you grew up with your birth parents, and maybe you had other siblings, and you still felt like they were treated better, or you was always just different, and you was often reminded that you were seen different because of how you was treated. And, you know, it's important that we realize, you know, because when you become an adult, a lot of times people say, well, that was childhood, you know, you have to heal, you know, move past that. And I'm most definitely advocating for healing from those types of things, because even though it seems small, when it happens to you enough times, it creates a wound, okay? And if you don't heal that, then you will go on searching and looking in the wrong places. But I also realized when I heard that message where I was told they didn't choose you because I chose you first, it's because it's almost like the Most High Mother and Father set it up so that we would be surrounded by karmic family members so that we would ultimately end up seeking, but we would later find out that what we were seeking was in that relationship or that divine connection to the Most High Mother and Father, realizing that that is your true divine parents. You see what I'm saying? And so for us, the chosen, it's very important that we come into a space of realization that we can't seek out approval or the affections or the accolades of man. Our recognition and reward comes from the Most High Mother and Father and the spiritual team that the Most High has placed around us. And so when you come into your awakening, it's so important to realize that even though you don't have a large group of people in your physical environment that you can reach out to when you're in a time of need, you can always seek out your holy angels, your ancestors of love and light. You can always seek out the Most High God because the Most High established it that way. The Most High established it that way so that you would always seek on a spiritual level and not necessarily seek that assistance or that guidance from your karmic family, because quite often they would end up leading you astray, right? Especially because many of them are not going through the awakening, many of them are not healing, and so you as the chosen, you have a divine assignment. And so when you have a divine assignment, you have to make sure that you're receiving divine guidance. You see what I'm saying? And so you were supposed to feel like you didn't fit in. You were supposed to feel like you didn't have that support system so that it would ultimately push you and get you to focus your energy on your spiritual team. And so, you know, if you find that you have any fears right now, you have your spiritual team to ask for guidance, okay? Because you being misheard or misunderstood as a child, it was supposed to happen that way because they would never understand your language. we speak a totally different language of the chosen seed. And it's a language that comes through more so through your energy, less through your words, but through your energy. You're just different. You're built different. You see what I'm saying? And you interpret your environment and your experiences different. You interpret people and the energy that they project differently from others. And so you were unheard or misunderstood because you were speaking two different languages energetically. And it was meant to be that way because the only ones that really understand the language that you speak spiritually is the Most High in your spiritual team. And so it's important that you forgive yourself. You know, if you find that when you look back, you might have sought affections in the wrong places from the wrong people at the wrong time. You see what I'm saying? Forgive yourself for not knowing, because all of these lessons that you had to go through because you were still seeking to fill that void space that, you know, that was created as a child, all of these things that you had to go through was building you and strengthening you and empowering you to become better and to get you to focus on a higher source, the divine source. You see what I'm saying? So there is, you know, you might have to still do some work to heal from lack mentality. Because those types of situations, it creates lack mentality in a person. For instance, what I was talking about in terms of the peanut butter sandwiches versus the tuna fish or the lunch meat sandwiches, it makes you feel like there is lack, like there's not enough, like maybe you're not enough, maybe you feel like you lack something subconsciously. It can make you feel as if you lack something, that you would never be enough to deserve a tuna fish sandwich versus the peanut butter and jelly, even though I would tear up some peanut butter and jelly today, okay? But in that moment as a child, you don't interpret it that way. And so you might suppress it, but you grow up to feel like there's just not enough, like who you are and what you offer is just not enough for you to deserve the ultimate reward. So it's really important to heal from any lack mentality that you might have in terms of what you're able to offer or in terms of what, you know, life can offer in terms of the infinite possibilities. I do feel like your spiritual team is trying to guide you, to remind you that you have a divine assignment that you need to carry out. And they're actually waiting for you to seek out those answers in terms of what that assignment looks like. For those of you who are still trying to figure out what's your purpose, why did you have to go through so many things to get to where you are today, and where is this supposed to take you? Ask for assistance. If you're seeking out clarity from man, then you're seeking in the wrong direction. You got to seek it out from your divine parents, the Most High Mother and Father, and your spiritual being. You will get those answers, okay? So especially if you have, like, specific gifts. Let's just say you have a gift and you know that this is something that you've been guided to do, but you're kind of procrastinating in terms of bringing that gift to the world. You are being called to do what's necessary to keep sharpening that gift in preparation of presenting it to the world, because there's a lot of people that need what you have. You haven't been set aside for nothing. You were set aside so that ultimately when you went through your awakening, you would be totally fine with going into hermit mode. You would be totally fine with going into the cocoon, because technically you've always felt like you were, you know, a loner anyway for many of you. Maybe not all chosen seed, but for the majority, it's a very common narrative, okay? And so it feels like, you know, now you're free. You're free. You possess the keys to the universe to unlock those doors that was once closed in your face. Sometimes when you grow up in a situation where you're constantly getting a no, even though you know that you deserve a yes, it gets implanted in your subconscious mind that, okay, if I try this, more than likely they're not going to take me, or they're not going to see me as being good enough. If I fill out this application, or they're not going to hire me. Or if you start your own business, oh, I'm not going to be able to attract clients that want to support me. It's a subconscious thing that gets embedded in you. And that's why it's so important to recognize what your fears are and to be very consistent when it comes to clearing those things out. So y'all know I love to put things on paper and to burn them. You know, I destroy and release all fears known and unknown, all insecurities, all unhealed wounds from childhood, all feelings of being unheard or misunderstood, or all lack mentality in spirit and in flesh. And you want to burn that. You want to give thanks to the Most High and your spiritual team for helping you to clear that energy out, because they most certainly will. You possess the keys to the universe to the point where you can shape and mold yourself to become whoever you desire to be. As long as you're coming from a space of love, compassion, and integrity, you're good. You got the green light to do exactly that. And so if you find that there's certain things within you that you just wish you didn't have, certain characteristics or certain qualities, and you feel like, oh, well, based on my past or based on my circumstances, this is how I think, this is how I react, this is how I, you know, deal with situations, you do not have to, that does not have to be your reality. You have the authority, you have the wand to transmute and alchemize any energy, whether it is within you or outside of you. But it's best to start within so that you can shift and change your external circumstances. And so just know that you are worthy, you know, even though you were made to feel as if you wasn't worthy of a tuna fish sandwich and you was given that peanut butter and jelly sandwich, embrace the fact that now, as you've awakened, and as you are able to look back at your past, embrace the fact that now you have a choice. You can do tuna fish, you can do turkey, you can do peanut butter and jelly. You can do all three if that's what you want to do, because the Most High Mother and Father has given you an overflow of abundance. And if you haven't received that overflow of abundance yet, it's likely because there's still some things that you need to release so that your hands are free enough for you to receive. And so if you find that if any of this that I've brought to you today has brought clarity in terms of where your blockages are at, so that you can try to figure out, okay, well, what is it that's going on within me? Matter of fact, I think I will. Let me pull my cards, because for those of you that this message might resonate with, if you felt like you were treated very differently or made to feel as if you were the black sheep, then let's just see how it has affected you. I'm pulling from my Heal Yourself deck, so y'all know if you want to order this deck, feel free to email me. But this deck is going to help to give some clarity of how that affected you, how it's affecting you today, to where it might have you in a space where you feel like things are slow coming in, or you might self-sabotage. So I have overly emotional coming out. So this is the solar plexus chakra. Then I have pleasure-seeking behavior patterns. This is the sacral chakra. I'm just going to pull about seven. I think seven is a good number. You have physical, sexual, or verbal abuse, which is the root chakra. You have difficulty realizing your truth in the world, which is the throat chakra. So this is like almost all of your chakras were affected. Difficulty communicating, two for the throat chakra. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I just pulled two more. Okay, three came out. So I have here, oh, actually, that one was, that's the cover card. So I have here insecurity or low self-worth, another sacral chakra, self-doubt, and then I have lost sight of your dreams, okay? So based on what I'm seeing right here, for some of you, you did deal with physical, sexual, or verbal abuse, or maybe all of the above, right? And so those types of situations can make you feel unworthy. It can cause you to have a lot of self-doubt. It can cause you to have a lot of insecurities. It can cause you to not trust people and to always be in survival mode, because you're always looking to protect yourself. And so you want to clear this out. So you might put on paper, I destroy and release all of the following energy. So you might put on the paper physical, sexual, verbal abuse. The next one deals with being overly emotional and self-doubt. So this deals with your solar plexus chakra. So with the self-doubt and being overly emotional, this affects the solar plexus. The solar plexus needs to be balanced, because when it's balanced, you feel like you're standing in your power. It allows you to feel more courageous and confident in whatever it is that you pursue in life, okay? Or more confident within yourself as well. So, you know, the emotions, you might find that if you're overly emotional today, it's because likely you were not able to express your emotions in childhood and actually receive the nurturing and compassion that you needed in order to balance you back out. You see what I'm saying? And so if you had to suppress a lot of things growing up in childhood, then it's like now you might find yourself reacting or maybe even overreacting to situations because it's so much that's built up since childhood that it tends to come out in, you know, in ways that you probably wouldn't express it had you been nurtured and been shown that affection when you needed it, okay? And so you want to put on there also overly emotional, self-doubt. The next one deals with your sacral chakra. So we have pleasure-seeking behavior patterns and insecurity and low self-worth. So these two cards show that pleasure-seeking behavior patterns can be anything. It can deal with you seeking out, you know, drinking, smoking, sex, spending money, gambling, pornography, overeating. It can be anything that you do in order to spend, to get that dopamine flowing temporarily. So pleasure-seeking behavior patterns can be you even being emotionally codependent on others. But whatever it is, it's affecting your sacral chakra. And if your sacral chakra is affected, then so is your creativity. So if you find that you already have a card that says lost sight of your dreams, you might have had certain ideas or things that you wanted to bring into fruition or to manifest, and you ended up losing the passion for that thing, or you lost the zeal or the excitement to create it and to bring it into fruition. And it's largely because there's some things going on with the sacral chakra that need to be healed, because you want to add on their pleasure-seeking behavior patterns. The other one deals with insecurity or low self-worth. Now, with the insecurity and low self-worth, you know, just like when I was explaining about the, you know, the sandwiches, even though it seems very small when you think about it as an adult, for a child, it kind of reminds you, it highlights that you're different. It highlights that you're not as special. You see what I'm saying? And so that can be suppressed, pushed down to where you have insecurities or low self-worth and you just feel like you're not good enough. You see what I'm saying? So even if yours was not sandwiches, it could have been any situation that made you feel as if you just was not enough. You just were not accepted. You see what I'm saying? And so it's very important that you also add that to the list. The next one deals with the throat chakra. One of them says difficulty realizing your truth in the world, and the other one says difficulty communicating, okay? So you might say, well, I'm able to openly communicate with people. Sometimes it's not general communication, like speaking about the practical things or whatnot. Sometimes it's you communicating your emotions, communicating how you truly feel, communicating from the heart, maybe expressing love or showing love verbally, okay? Or maybe even difficulty communicating your truth, because sometimes when you go through physical, sexual, or verbal abuse, especially sexual abuse, a lot of times that's the one thing that gets suppressed by a lot of people, because there's shame, there's fear of judgment, there's fear of being, you know, ostracized or, you know, people talking about you or whatever the case may be. And so you end up blocking your throat chakra, and so you have a difficult time communicating other things when a major thing like that has been suppressed, and it's like everything else is difficult to communicate too, because the one thing that you need to communicate, you're not communicating. Or let's just say you did communicate your truth, but you got shut down, or people told you that you were lying or things like that, and so you ended up having to suppress how you felt, you know, just to keep the peace or whatnot. So it could definitely cause a blockage to the throat chakra, and it looks like difficulty realizing your truth in the world. How this is connected to the throat chakra is when you recognize what your truth is, like what your purpose is, then you're able to openly communicate those thoughts out into the universe, whether you're thinking those thoughts, visualizing, or speaking them out loud through affirmation, or even openly communicating your vision to others who could potentially help you to, or even communicating your truth to people that could actually help you to bring those dreams into fruition, you know, laying out the practical things in order to create the foundation or whatnot. Throat chakra can be blocked in that way, so you want to add to the list difficulty realizing your truth in the world, as well as difficulty communicating. And then the last one I already mentioned was the third eye chakra, which is losing sight of your dreams. And so this is how those particular situations that could have occurred in your childhood where you felt like you were not accepted or you felt less than has affected you today. And these are things that need to be addressed and release so that you can live freely and openly and accept those blessings that's coming to you. Because these are the actual blockages that could be postponing or slowing down these things from coming in. So if you want a private reading, that'll give you a little bit more clarity in terms of what took place in your childhood that could be affecting you or blocking you today. You can always email me, because this is very important for you to know. If you're unaware of what you have suppressed, then you'll have all types of blockages in a physical realm, and you'll be groping in the darkness trying to figure out how you can change your circumstance, but you will not find it, because you don't realize that it's something that is within you, something that is suppressed, that needs to be cleared out on a spiritual level in order for physical doors to open. You see what I'm saying? So this is very important. If you find that this message resonates with you in any way, please be sure to like, subscribe to my channel, hit the notification bell. If you want to keep up with my future messages, and also if you want to order my deck, my Heal Yourself deck, my Declare and Decree deck, if you want to get tarot lessons, if you want to get a personal reading, if you want to order my hair or body oil, email me. It's in the description box below. And also, for those of you who have been donating to my channel, I appreciate every last one of you, and I pray that you receive 1,000-fold in return in whatever measure you need it. So I will talk to you all next time. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Royalty, royalty, royalty. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Spiritual Soul Sunday. I am your host, Haru, the Seven Oracle. Most often, I'm your Stephen Boyd. And today, I don't know if I'm going to be long today, because I hope you guys enjoyed that message, right? Today's podcast is Light Souls, okay? And I just want to let, you know, the light souls, the good hearts, you know, the good people, you know, where you probably felt like you didn't belong. You always was made to feel like you're not, you never were good enough. You know, everybody's story, healing journey is different. Those, you know, may come from families to where, you know, even though you may seem like the black sheep or the golden child, or, you know, just the one who just, you know, what this didn't fit in, you know what I mean? And this podcast is for you guys. And just know, you know, please contact Shop Zane, because she's definitely a great person to help you, you know, kind of clear some stuff out. Many of you know that I went through years of healing my own personal journey. And I am on the lighter side of things, finally, right? But it is work, you guys. But it is work. She is definitely right when it comes to the spiritual aspect, guys. We have to think, you know, why are we spiritually placed in these circumstances, in these, you know, conditions, rather. You know what I mean? And ultimately, you know, that's one thing that I always kept in my toolbox while going through my dark night of the soul, was that, you know, there is beauty in the chaos. There is beauty in this chaos. There is beauty in this chaos. There is beauty somewhere. And, you know, I was lucky to discover it. You know what I mean? But discover it from within me, right? So I hope you guys got some clarity, you know, just anybody who's searching, you know what I mean? There is help out there for you guys, and I just want you to know that, all right? So what we're talking about today, guys, one of my friends, Renee Hamilton, which is a great teacher, guys, he teaches on this quantum level, you know what I mean? And I am pulling some of his content, guys. I actually included a podcast that he did recently about, like, how Earth is a computer program, and the program is coming to an end. And you guys know Brother Wisdom, you know, when I use his content to start off the podcast a lot of times, he talks about this, too, and Renee talks about it as well. But you know, they come from different points, you know what I mean? Like different frequencies, I guess, if you will. But it's the same message, okay? So I pulled, Renee has 20, right? So I'm going to be reading, and then I'm going to close out with the three ways of Dolores Cannon. So this podcast is entitled Light Souls, right? So here is a commentary from one of Renee's posts, which I could not find this morning. So I'm glad I captured these, because some of these he deletes or it's hard to find, right? So he says, this is a list created of 20 unique types of light player souls, truth-directed souls that have come here to assist this vibrational universe in mystery school, what we call Earth. There are many unique types of starseed souls that have dreamt themselves into this grand mystery school called Earth. Many have forgot that this is a dream world. You have fully fallen into ego consciousness. Yet ever increasing number are starting to shed their earthly personalities to realize one's true cosmic origins that only exist behind the limited, ridiculous belief system. He goes hard on belief system, guys. that we have artificially constructed for ourselves while on this earthly mission. Here is a small list of different types of souls that have come to purify themselves and resonate true cosmic love / imagination. Give me a second, guys. All right, so this is interesting. I love stuff like this, y'all. So love, number one, love resonators. They don't have to do anything. Their mere presence creates a background of nurturing energy for all to bathe in. Aha! Emotional cleaners. These souls are very adept on establishing themselves on the astral plane, the origin of all emotional energy. They are constantly clarifying, distilling the emotional distortion, unbalance with this dream world. You have your system busters, you have your mental architects, you have your shake markers, pattern makers, you got your dream masters, you got your masters of observation. Number eight, you have your logo, your solar logos, creator / sustainer of the particular vibrational universe, false logical. Number nine, false logical dismantlers. Number 10, I'm sorry I didn't go. The way he has it here, guys, is just he kind of goes in all the way down to 10. So number 10, dark explorers, pure souls who travel into dark states of consciousness, guiding to source, of course, as to learn and gain wisdom of the ignorant, unaware self, shadow self, to share with any fellow souls whom on this journey into truth. I have all of these. Integrity masters may not be actively playing a spiritual role in this lifetime. Integrity masters, okay. Yet they radiate immense integrity on levels far beyond the average mortal human. God-like integrity. Aha. I know a few of those. Master deprogrammers, dehypnotizers. Dolores Cannon, I would say. Master scribes, interpreters of the Holy One Spirit. Okay, I don't understand that one. Masters of logic, deductive reasoning. Number 15, souls of innocence, who come directly from source, having no previous or other simulation incarnations, pure souls, okay. Maybe new souls, right? Maybe the childlike souls. Symbolic, numerical decoders, watchers, those who secretly watch, guide to some degree. shape the consciousness of both the light and the dark polarities as to contribute one common goal and that greater self-awareness. I'm on number 18. Jedi Knights. These souls are masters of inner balance. They specialize in stabilizing their entire vibratory realm. Their outer life may appear to be normal or even in shambles, yet their inner world is ultimately magnificent, a mystery. Also, a true blessing to any vibratorial universe they happen to visit. 19, the leading edge visionaries who establish new spiritual scientific technologies. The world teachers, new cosmic avatars, the living book of life, the avatar of synthetic complete consciousness, pure nature, pure source, pure true self, just ultimately purity. There are many more types to write about, so this is one of the small samples. Feel free to give me feedback, comment. That was amazing. I'm going to have to find that post. That was amazing. I would include this in the show notes, guys, but it is too long to in the show notes. But I have included where you can go and listen to Renee Hamilton. You can Google him, Inner Soul Tech, F-O-U-L, Inner Soul Tech, I believe is his website. I'll post his website in the show notes as well. Let me see how much time I got, because that was kind of quick. But, you know, the purpose is, you know, the light souls, the people that are special or seem to have some type of gift, you know, in that are treated about, you know what I mean? In this world, because, you know, we're not like everybody else, you know what I mean? We're like different or we're special, you know what I mean? And it seems like you may want to think that everybody else is not special or like, what, you know, how, like you would, early on, you would think like, okay, something is wrong with me. I'm not like everybody else, you know what I mean? But no, you know, it was actually a gift, you know, and a purpose, you know what I'm saying? So, I feel, let me listen, because I may, oh yeah, how much time we got? We got an hour and 16 left. Let's see. I'm going to play this clip on Dolores.
By a second wave, they're identifying with it. Because they said for the first time, it makes sense to them. Their whole life, they have felt something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And now it begins to make sense as we start giving the, what I want to call, not the symptoms, but the characteristics of the three waves. But to know about the three waves, I'm not going to have time to go back to the whole beginning,
yeah.
But it has to do with the ETs and the way they have watched over the earth since it was created, because they're the ones that created us. And, the seeding of the planet Earth, and they've been there all through Earth's history watching us and taking care of us. And whenever something was needed in our timeline, they would supply it. Like whenever we needed fire, learned about fire, we learned about agriculture, all of this was brought in at those times.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to have to, we can't give you this, well, I'm going to have to play the lecture, guys. It's 2 hours and 30 minutes, but I'm not going to play that. Hopefully she'll go get into it. But the three waves are important, you know what I mean, to understanding. You know, again, go please, Sharpie Zane. She's a great teacher, guys, and a great spiritualist. So please, if you need someone to talk to, she's definitely one. And I mean, I do readings as well. You know, I'm open to speaking with someone, or I'll pull a few cards for you or whatnot. You know, just contact me. My link tree is in the show notes, guys. But it's definitely very important to understand, you know, understand, understand, overstand, right, of why many of us are here. You know what I mean? And sometimes we may need, you know, a little research, you know what I'm saying, external and both internal, just to see, okay, that resonates with me. Like, this makes sense. So that's how it was when it came to the first piece, Shabby Zane, coming into that with years of healing, you know what I mean? And just to understand that, you know, many may resonate with the 20 light souls that Brené Hamilton had described, you know what I mean? Like, you being different is a gift, you know what I mean? And this right here, as far as the three ways by Dolores Cannon, you can Google it and you can go to YouTube University, guys. I'm going to post a full lecture in the show notes for you guys to go back and listen to on your own. But the three ways are very important to know, all right? So I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. And at some point, I'll be back to close out.
If you're together 24/7, you know what that's like.
Right, right. But I love her immensely, and I'm so very, very proud of her and what she has accomplished and what she continues to accomplish and where she is continuing to go and the impact that she is having on the world and everything that is happening. And that, you know, and she has no idea. That's the beauty of this. She doesn't realize just what she's doing. So that is why it's my honor to be in this place with you. And I would like to turn over, before I do start crying, to my mother, Dolores Cannon.
That's rare. It's very hard, very unusual to have your kids say anything good about you. Okay. But everything is growing and growing. Our company is growing by leaps and bounds, and we are getting better authors all the time, and we're spreading. And it's amazing what the company is doing. And also, we're continuing to travel all over the world. After this conference, I've been telling different people, I probably won't really be home until Thanksgiving. That's how much we're going to be on the road. Starting about a week from now, we'll do a nationwide tour and going up into Canada. Those of you who are in the Boston area, well, first we're going to be in Virginia around Washington, D.C., doing a lecture there. If any of you are from these parts of the country and you want to come to these, and then we'll be going up in the Boston area with a lecture and my class. And Dee Wallace is going to be joining me on some of these in case you want to see her again, too. We'd be the Boston area, then we'd go up into Canada and across to Portland. And skipping New Zealand. But we would be back home then. Thanks. I want to get right to the chase of what this talks about. But I'm not a psychic. I do not channel. All of my 16 books have come from my experience in my work. I'm a hypnotherapist. I consider myself to be the investigator, the reporter, the researcher of lost knowledge, because everything that I've gotten has come through the people that I work with in my sessions. I have to put it together as a reporter. I do the research, organize it. And that's where the books come from. So it doesn't come from me, but it comes through all of the thousands and thousands of people that I work with. But I've been doing this now for over 40 years. And when I started out in the 60s, there was no New Age. There was no reincarnation. I mean, people didn't know these things. There was, but nobody knew about these things. They didn't know about reincarnation. They definitely didn't know about past lives. There were no metaphysics. There were no New Age stores. Some of the young people may have a hard time believing that, but there was a time when we weren't into any of that. So it was total ignorance, and that's when I got into it by accident. I was doing hypnosis over 40 years ago, and that's when it was only used for habits. Stop smoking, lose weight. That's how long ago I started. And stumbled into reincarnation by accident, if anything is ever an accident. If you read my books, Five Lives Remembered, it tells the story of my beginning. And it's only taken 40 years for that book to come out. It's way, way ahead of its time. I tried for many, many years back then to get it published, and they said, what are you talking about, past lives? We don't even know what you mean. So there were no stores, nothing. And I kept all these rejects for so many years. I just said, oh, the heck with it. I'm moving on. And I began to write more books, because in the 70s is when I started doing the past life therapy full time. And even then, it was not popular. Nobody really knew about it. And I began to get information, and so I wrote books at that time. By the time the computers came along, I had 5 books that I'd written on the typewriter. But it took me 9 years to find my first publisher, because nobody knew anything about this. They didn't understand it. So my daughter says, the world is finally catching up with me, I guess, because I was doing it that long ago. But in the beginning, a lot of my work was history. That's the Jesus and the Essenes and those books, because that was all I was doing, with the past life regressions. But then along there somewhere, things began to change. And at first it was very subtle, but then I began to see I was having contact with a great and powerful force. And I didn't understand it in the beginning. But now, as this has developed over the last 30 years, I found a way to use this and to call it in. And now I use it in all of my sessions, and this is what I teach in my classes. We are communicating now with the greatest force there is, the source of all knowledge. You can't get any higher than that. That's what I use in my work, and they're the ones that give me the information that I write about, the source of all knowledge. This is also the part that does the instantaneous healings in my session. I don't heal. I don't do any of that. I am the facilitator, and they're the ones that do the work. And I just know how to talk to them, direct them through the client, and we get miracles every day in my office. So once I found out that, my main work now is therapy and counseling. And people are coming from all over the world to this little bitty town in Arkansas, here where I live. I said, it's my retreat. When I come back home, I can get up there and be isolated and recharge my batteries. Because nobody knows what I do over there, and nobody cares. So I can live in two worlds and have a balance. Otherwise, you can get into this kind of a world and go over the deep end very, very easily. I have to have that balance in order to survive. So, but it began to be more and more common as my books began to come out. People were seeking me out. But I work in the deepest possible level of trance. I work in the somnambulistic level. At that level, you get the conscious mind out of the picture. It cannot interfere. In the lighter levels, which a lot of hypnotists work at, and they do past life regressions, the person remembers a lot of it. And they'll say, oh, I made the whole thing up. But you get the conscious mind out of the picture and focus on just let the subconscious come in and tell the story. You get the truth. And this is where all the information comes from. And I found a way that is a totally new technique that I'm teaching, is how to get the conscious mind out of the way and get to them. Now, the part that I work with, I call it the subconscious. But it's not the subconscious the way it's defined by the psychiatrist. That's a childish part of your mind. That's the part of your mind that is used for habits. That's not the part I work with. I didn't know what to call it when they first began to come through. When I finally said, well, I'm going to call you the subconscious. They said, we don't care what you call us. We don't have a name anyway. But we'll work with you. So the part that I call the subconscious, you may say it's the higher self, the oversoul, the higher consciousness, has all knowledge. It is extreme power, but yet it is full of total love. it's a great honor to work with them, because the love I feel when I'm working with a client and the love that is in that office, the energy is so high. But they know everything about everybody. They're so big and so powerful, but yet they care about every single person. That's why we're able to have such wonderful results, because they know everything about you. There are no secrets. So when somebody comes to see me, they know what they're looking for. They see the bigger picture. All I have to do is ask the questions, and I know how to bring them in through the person I'm working with. And the results are tremendous. But the amazing thing as a reporter is the similarity of the information that comes through. Now, I work with thousands and thousands of people. So when the information comes in, if they're all saying the same thing, not knowing each other, not even knowing what I have found, we know it's got validity. And I know it's coming from them because they always speak the same way. They always have the same terminology. People read my books and they say, it sounds like the same person is answering all your questions. And I said, well, it is really. It's to them. But it's gotten to the point where I can have a session, say in England, they never interrupt the therapy part and when I'm working with the client. But toward the end, sometimes they'll come through and say, Dolores, we have a message for you. I say, okay, I'm used to it. I always wonder later, what does the client think when they listen to that tape? But they say, we have a message for you. And they said, this is the next piece of information you need for your next book. And they will give me a theory or a concept that I've never heard before. And they're okay. Then they will return to the session of helping the person. Then maybe a week later, I can be on the other side of the world here in America having another session. It happens again. And it comes through again, and they expand upon the theory or the concept they have just given me. And this is how I put it all together like a gigantic puzzle, a piece from this person, a piece from another person, till it all begins to make sense. That's why I'm not working. It's not like channeling. I don't get it through one person. I get pieces and bits, and that's my job to put it together. And this is where the Convoluted Universe series have come from, is all of the complicated concepts they are giving me now. And the information I'm getting now, I could never have handled 30 years ago. I wasn't prepared for it. But they know that. They know what you can handle. They never give you more than you can take, or they never give the client more than they can handle. So they give it to you in bits and pieces, like spoon feeding. So what I was getting 30 years ago was what I could handle at that time. They told me recently through another client, they said, he is where you were 20 years ago. He's not ready for these things yet. He said, you don't give a baby a three-course meal. You give a baby milk, then cereal, then crushed vegetables. You don't give a baby a steak. So they're not going to dump a whole lot of information on you that you can't handle, or you just throw it away and say, doesn't make any sense. If you do that, then it's not serving any purpose. So they feed it to you in spoonfuls. And they digest this part. Then once you get that, then they give you another piece of information. And that's the way my work has continued. But in the beginning, when the concepts began to come true, I figured, I don't understand this. And they would help me to digest it and understand it, or I would have stopped right then. I kept saying, you're messing with my belief system. I got it all figured out. And then I got to looking at the thing they had shown me, and I said, if I don't at least look at it and examine it, I'm no better than the church that says, do what we say and don't ask any questions. So as I began to internalize it and try to understand it, then I would be given a little more and a little more. So now it's constant. They're constantly giving me more and more ideas and concepts. You've read the Convoluted Universe series. You know what it's doing. It's an evolving thing. More and more information. At the end of Convoluted 3, I made a remark and said, well, now you've told me everything there is to know. There's nothing left to you to tell me. And they said, oh, no, there is more. And that's how I ended the book. And after that, I had more than enough because I've been working on 3 books. And the first one is the new one, The 3 Waves of Volunteers in the New Earth, because I've been lecturing on that. He said, pull out all the information I have on that and put it into one book. And then there is Convoluted 4, and there are more concepts in that. And there's enough information, I'm trying to figure out where to put it, because I'm always working on more books. And it seems like every time you think you've got it all, there's a little more information. And they told me you will never, as long as you're in the human body, get it all. It's impossible for the human mind to understand it. All of your questions will never be answered because no human alive can handle it. That they said some information is as poison rather than mad medicine because you wouldn't be able to take it. So when I've had one student at one class one time said, but I want to know it all. They said, it is impossible, but I want it. I said, sorry. They said, it's not the brain, it's the mind. The mind has no concepts to handle what you're going to be given. Now, if you remember in Guy Needler's, see how complicated it was getting. So they think it's time now to begin stretching our minds and giving us a little more information that we can handle. So we're getting being fed more and more and more. And those of you who are into metaphysics are better able to understand these concepts than what they call the sleepwalkers out there. Ones that are walking in their sleep because they have no idea of what's going on and what it's really all about. But that we at least have a better grasp on these metaphysical things. So I'm going to be going into some things. At first, I didn't want to cover a lot of stuff. I didn't want to go over your heads. But it seems like now is the time to start getting into some of these things. Because when I'm lecturing an audience, I try to stick with where I think the audience is. But sometimes they get into the questions. They begin to ask more complicated questions. And I said, okay, maybe they can handle some of these things. So anyway, I'm going to try to put some new information into this lecture that's going to be going, it's in the 3 Waves book, and it's also going to be going into Convoluted 4. Okay, now where to start? That's the thing. All right. The first thing to remember, some of the other speakers have been touching on some of these things, and I said, I guess it is time to get these things out. We all began with God, and God is a tremendous force. I've had many, many people have sessions where they've gone back to when they were with God, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful. It's total love, and they don't want to leave. They always describe it as bright, beautiful light. Sometimes they'll say it's like being in the sun. They call it the great central sun. And when you're there, everybody is together. And they have no desire to leave. It's extremely beautiful and wonderful. And this is why a lot of people say they feel a great separation when they go off. But this is the way it was in the beginning. We were all one with God. Then God wanted to explore. He wanted to become, was curious. He wanted to experiment. That's when he burst out in all directions. When he did, all of these sparks flew out in all directions. And when I take a person back to what they really, really are, they're just a tiny, tiny spark of light. That's what you all are. You're just in this vehicle right now, what I call a suit of clothes. This is the costume you're wearing right now to play this part in this play. But your real soul is just like a tiny, tiny spark of light. When these tiny sparks of light flew out in all directions, some of them became galaxies, some of them became planets, And many of them were just the individual souls. And God said, go forth, my children, and learn. Learn everything there is to learn. Have experiences. Learn lessons. Learn everything. Then return to me with all of your information. That's why they say there is no bad, there is no good. Everything is energy. Everything is experiences and lessons. So when we all have bad things that happen in our lives, that is life. But I always ask the person, what did you learn from that experience? Sometimes they haven't even thought about that. If you've learned one thing, that was the reason for having that experience. If they say, well, I didn't learn anything, it was just horrible. Well, guess what's going to happen if they say that? They got to do it again. They failed that great. You have to do it again, and it'll be with the same people, same experiences, even be harder the next time. Because this is just a school, and it's only one of many, many schools you will attend. But when God sends us out, remember, we're on these adventures accumulating everything we can accumulate. We all excel in the body of God. But when you're having these experiences, they said before, it's just a play, it's just an illusion. I've had people, when they've gone through the death experience, they look back and they'll say, it's just a play. I see all the actors on the stage, they're playing their part. The people are standing in the wings and getting ready to come on stage and play their part. It's just an illusion. But when I was in it, it seemed so real. But now that I'm over here, it's like a blink of an eye. That's how quick it is. We get caught up in it. That's why you have to learn to figure out, remember, you design. It's your play. You're the producer, director, actor, and writer of the script. If you don't like the way the script is written, rewrite it. That's how easy it is to do. Once you understand, you really control all of your life. You control the whole situation. It's your play. And when we come in, we have all these other souls who need to play different parts. And they have meetings over there when you're on the spirit side. Whenever you have gone through your past, your life, you've just died, you go through a part where you do a life review. And you look over the life you had just left. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? What should I make amends about? And there's nobody up there judging you. You judge yourself. There's no harsher judge than you yourself. You see what you shouldn't have done. And then you see, I hurt this person. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. So you talk to these other souls. You say, well, we didn't do such a good job. Let's go back and do it again. This time you be the husband, I'll be the wife. Or you be the mother and I'll be the child. You can switch roles away any way you want because it is just a play. And we make agreements. Okay, this is the part I'm going to play. This time I'm going to be the villain. But you learn something from it. And you design what your life is going to be like. And I have had this through thousands of people. I know about the planning sessions. I know that you make the agreements and you're talking to the other souls. And you'll say, okay, I think I'll learn a better lesson if I have this hard thing happen to me this time. And this other soul will say, okay, I'll be the villain. I'll do it to you. Now, on the other side, you may be best friends. But when you come in here, they're playing the villain. And many of them play their parts very, very well, as you all know. But it's an agreement you make before you come in. I'm going to have a hard life this time. But if you look back at it, what did you learn? I have heard stories you wouldn't believe, my clients, when they come in. Horror stories about the way people were raised that you wouldn't believe. But when I have the session and I ask, why did they have to have such a hard life? They'll say, they chose it. They set it up. And I said, why? And they said they had to learn to survive. They had to learn how to grow. They learned to have to learn how to forgive. There was always a reason why. And it's very hard. Once they understand that, then they move on. If you don't, you have to repeat it again with the same people. And my clients say, I don't want that. I don't want, I'm done. I don't want any more of that. I'm out of here. But I said, you better get rid of the karma now. You better forgive them and release it, or you're going to have to come back and do it again. But this is a school you come to learn lessons. The lessons are hard. The hardest part is when you come in, you have your plan. This is what I hope to do. And this is all the contracts I've made with all these people of all the parts you're going to play. Then you come in, you forget it all. The veil comes down, and you can't remember anything. I had one woman going through the birth experience, and she said, I got to remember. And then she's born, and she said, I don't remember anymore. And I asked them one time, wouldn't it be easier if we knew why we were here? If we knew our connections with all of the other people in our lives. They said, no, if you knew, it wouldn't be a test. If you knew the answers, it wouldn't be a test. The ETs have said we are the only planet in the universe that forgets when we come in. The rest of them know their contracts. They know their connection with God. They are very close to him. We forget because we chose to do that. This is, like my daughter said, the most challenging planet in the universe, the most challenging planet in the solar system. Because we set you to come here, you really wanted to learn a lot. It's very, very difficult. You come to Earth to learn emotions and limitations. So you choose it for that reason. But what I found is, well, when you're making your plans, you don't always, Earth is not the only school. You get to take all the grades before you graduate and finally go back to God. Earth is not the only school. You have schools on other planets, other dimensions, and many of you have lived lives on other planets and other dimensions. I have many, many sessions where they have told me about lives in other dimensions. And who knows, after you graduate from this school, if you decide, I'm going to go over here and live a life in this other galaxy, different rules and regulations. So it's an ongoing thing. Earth is just a very, very difficult one. And I've had them, oh, they've come from the source, the God, and they're busy creating planets. They're creating galaxies. Many of you have done the same thing. You were co-creators. This is how powerful you are. You forgot. You can create galaxies. I've had some of them when they created the oceans on the Earth. If you were powerful enough to do that, and now all of a sudden you forget your power, but they're having so much fun doing all of that, living as a free-floating spirit, creating and having fun like that. Then they're on the spirit side, and they'll say, you know, it's time now for you to go and start an Earth existence. And they're saying, I don't want to do that. This is much easier. I don't want to be stuck in a body. It's dense and it's heavy. It's yucky. I don't want to do that. And they said, well, it's time for you to start your school. And I've had some of them actually cry. I don't want to go. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to do those things. This is much more fun to be up here. But, no, it's time. But you agree to do it because, you know, it's part of your advancement. So, okay, once you sign the contract to start on the Earth school, you have to do it all. And believe me, it's not easy. This means you start with everything, as some of the other speakers were showing you. And I've had all this proven because I have many people go back to these lifetimes. When you, I don't say it linearly, we do know everything is simultaneous now, but the only way I can put it into a concept I can understand is think linear. So, in the beginning, you have to be air, part of the atmosphere. All of these are lessons you have to learn before you can move to the next step. I've had people go back to whenever the earth was in its volcanic stages before any life was there. Volcanoes were erupting. The air is full of ammonia. And there's no life on earth yet. They are part of the air. Their job is to help clean the ammonia out of the air. They have to do that before they can move on. And I've had many people do that when there were gases and different things, chemicals even, and even different things. I kept thinking, well, in the beginning, they're talking to me. They got a personality, but they don't have a body. They're just part of the air. In the beginning, it was startling, but now I hear it so much, I'm used to it. But after you do that, then you have to know, what is it like to be the dirt? What's it like to be a rock? I had one man, he was a very successful businessman, went to where he was in the dirt. And he said, this is very interesting. I'm looking at all the little bugs and worms crawling around down here, and it's interesting being part of the dirt. And I have had many people be rocks. And they say when they're a rock, they said life is very slow. And see, when I get to the subconscious part, I always ask them, why did you show that light to the person? They'll say, well, they think they don't have freedom now. It's much better now than it was when they were a rock, because then they had to just sit there. Every time we have a session, the subconscious explains the meaning for the person's life. And so I've had them do all of them. They have the plant kingdom. You have to do that. You have to know what it's like to be a rose. What is it like to be an ear of corn? What is it like to be all these different plants? I've had people be flowers, and they said, it's beautiful, but it doesn't last very long. So I've had them go through all of these things. In some of my convoluted universe books, I have whole sections on people having lives as these different forms of life. And once you understand this, I think you can put ecology and the environment into a whole different way of looking at it, because we're part of this. We have all been part of it. We need to take care of nature better if we know it's all part of us, different stages of development. So then you have to be animals. You have to be insects. I've had people be worms. I had a real interesting one that's going in convoluted four where the first man went back to a lifetime as an ant. And it was very fascinating to follow the life of an ant. And he had adventures and everything. Then he dies as the ant. He's taken to the other side. He's taken before the board, and you do your life review. And I'm thinking, that'd be interesting. What kind of a life review can an ant have? But they were saying, you did a good job. You learned about cooperation, about working together as a unit. Those are all very valuable traits. So now you're going to have to go and do another lesson. You learn one, you do good. You don't have to repeat that class. Now you're going to have to learn something else. Maybe patience, maybe love. Who knows what it is? You can't do it all in one lifetime. So it was fascinating to see the little ant as he evolved, and then he had to come back to something else. And I've had him be all kinds of animals, and I always want to know, how does an animal think? How does he see? How does an animal feel? And it's amazing. That's my curiosity. It's amazing how you interpret things. And it's all, we're all one. We all have the same ambitions and goals and everything. It doesn't make any difference. It's all life. Everything is alive. But then after you get through being an animal, then an animal is a group soul. And you have to be able to separate from the group soul so you can become a human being. And to do that, you have to give the animal an individuality and a personality. This is why they say when you take a pet into your home or you give an animal special attention, love is the answer to everything. You are teaching that animal so he can separate from the group and be able to become a human. You give it a personality and individuality and separate it. The group souls are like herds of cows, colonies of bees, colonies of ants, flocks of birds, they all operate as a group. But you separate from that and you're going to move up the ladder into the human part. So they said everything is alive. They said if there's one thing you could tell people is that everything, this table, this microphone, the floor, the desk, the tables, everything has life. Everything is vibrating at different frequencies, but it is all alive. It all has consciousness. I know a lot of you probably talk to your cars, don't you? You give them names, you give it a personality. It's that everything has life. And even down into the fibers of the rug, there are universes within the fibers of the rug. From the microcosm to the macrocosm, everything is alive, and they're all beings. I've had people even go to where there were cells. That's amazing. So we know everything is alive. Everything is there. You're all experiencing something. Some of these lives are short, and then you can go on to the next ones much faster. But nothing surprises me anymore. The last client I did before coming here was a big giant bird. And she didn't even know she believed in reincarnation. She said, I never even thought about past lives, but she was a big giant bird. It's not at all what we were expecting. But the subconscious said, it's time for her to spread her wings and fly. She was holding back on what she was supposed to be doing with her life. So every time the subconscious picks a life for the person to see, it's always got a reason. So anyway, when you get into the human, then you have to be everything. Everything. You have to be male and female many, many times. And I have men get upset with me when I say that. What do you mean? I've always been a man. What would you learn if you had always been one sex? There's got to be balance. You have to have balance. This is one of the causes of homosexuality. They've been one sex too many times, too many lifetimes. And then the spirit side says, okay, you know, now you got to switch because you got to learn that lesson. I don't want to do that. So they come into the body. And a lot of men will say, I feel like I'm a woman inside of a man's body because they were a woman in many past lives, and now they're a man. You have to learn what it's like. And sometimes the first time they make that switch, it's difficult. And I had one man start crying in the audience, and he said, finally, you give me an explanation I can understand. But this way, if you knew the rules of reincarnation, there is no judgment. There's no prejudice. We're all living our lessons. We're living our path. You never know the path of another person. You never know what their plan is. So you can't judge. But you have to be male and female many, many times. Then you have to be every race in the world, every religion in the world. You have to live on every continent in the world. Can you see if people understand that? There would be no prejudice. If you're prejudiced against anybody, race or religion, guess what's going to happen? Next time you come back, you have to be the very thing that you've been prejudiced about.
I am going to stop it right there, guys. The video clip is in the show notes. I promise you that just the 44 minutes, okay, time of 44, just the 44 minutes that I listened and, you know, like each time, you know, as you grow or unshed the many layers of your own understanding, you get like a different message each time. And just those 44 minutes, guys, I got a lot out of that, you know, that I, aha, aha, you know what I mean? So hope you guys enjoyed that as well. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and cut it right there. That lecture is 2 hours and 30 minutes long, guys. I didn't want to be that long today. But, again, it is in the show notes for you guys to go do your own research, okay? You know, I'm an advocate of you guys doing your own research. That's why I do these classrooms of these different lectures and stuff that I learned over time sharing it with you guys because I've done my years of research, you know what I mean? So I compile what I've learned and share it with you. So, Dolores Cannon definitely is a good reference and a good source. It's the three waves of volunteers and the new earth. Now, she hadn't even gotten into the three waves yet, okay? She was just kind of busting down just the meat and potatoes. So you are going to want to go back and do your own research on that, guys. But I got to go. Love you guys. Love you guys. I am on every weekend, guys. If you need to contact me, oh, let me
far for you guys. I haven't pulled from this deck in a minute.
If you need to contact me for any reason, you can always email me. And that's going to be in my link tree. Link tree is included in the show notes, guys. So, yeah, you can contact me. Oh, shit. Hey. This is a 99-card deck. And sometimes when you think you're just shuffling a little 52, it just goes every fucking where. So anyway, the card that popped out is attention, right? Focus. Focusing on watching, listening, awareness, observing mentally, thinking about, directing one's energy and engaging one's senses. Ooh, as my tingling spider senses just went up as I said that. Attention, what are you focusing your attention on in this quantum moment, guys? In this quantum moment that we are in this frame of this experience, as Laura says, in this experience, guys, what is the value of our attention? You know what I mean? I always advocate for self-evaluation. So when was the last time you had that self-evaluation? Socializing. When was the last time you guys got out? Choices. When was the last time you guys evaluated your choices? Dominance. What is dominating you? What is dominating you in this moment in your experience? Ending. What needs to end? What are your blockages? Unavailable. Ooh. Medicine. There's attention, accumulate, the fun. I don't know, I just like to pull, but there's a lot right there in there. But really, guys, what are we focusing on? The ending of that is the sun, you know. So whatever we accumulate, whatever we focus on our attention to, what are the metas, how we becoming unavailable, not having, not enough, missing something. You know, what is that you need to evaluate, right? What is it that you can't see? What is it that you're in need of? Ending, what needs to come to an end? Dominance, overpowering, controlling, better than, more than. What is not balanced, right? What choices are we making? Are we socializing enough? Have we become isolated to a point to where it's unhealthy? You know what I mean? So just things to evaluate, just your self-evaluation as a whole, guys, would definitely be something to take note of in this moment. So that's all I got for you guys today. If you need to contact me for a private reading, you can also do that as well. But I highly recommend for you to contact Shavi Zane when it comes to, she's a woman who knows her shit, okay? And she, I've had several sessions with her as well. And I highly recommend her, guys. She knows, and she's genuine in what she does. You know, there's no hidden motives and all that shit. So, love Shawty Zane. Highly recommend it for anybody who just needs somebody to talk to or need guidance in any area. So, I'm going to put her email so you guys can contact her, email her in the show notes. But, all right, guys. Till next time, as you guys already knew. All right? Till next time, guys. See you.
Inhale, exhale. Just breathe. Envision yourself sitting on the shores of a vast ocean. Watch the waves. how easily they fade away. Watch the clouds as they drift towards you. See how beautifully they fade away. Peacefully sit by the shore. Mentally grab the notebook and pen from your bag. Open the notebook to a blank page and mentally begin to write. List all of the things that are the source of your pain. You hurt. Write of the things that have brought you shame. Write of the things that have brought you pain. Release the pain. Allow peace to rise and replace it. Release the pain onto the page. Allow peace to rise and replace it. Notebook in hand, walk towards the ocean. Now, gently rip out the page of pain and fold it into the shape of a boat. On the side of the boat, I have let you go. I have let you go. Walk more towards the ocean. Feel the water at your feet. extended love as it fades away.